We are. Lamentes Summit Olive. 39A. Dealing with this issue of shechita with intent for Avodah Zarah. And where the intent comes not from the person doing the shechita, but it comes from the owner of the animal. So we're going to see a few different phases within this. First, we're going to talk about generally intent, me avoda la avoda. You're doing one avoda, and your intent is to do a later avoda with a thought for avoda zara. So that's going to be one issue. And then we're going to go back to the conversation about the intent of the owner versus the intent of the person doing the shechita, before moving back into more about the shechita for avoda zara and the Mishnah. So this is going to be an all avoda zara day, so to speak. So the Gemara is on the end of the third line on Lamed Tesim et Aleph. Itmar. Hashochet es habehima lizrog dama la'avodas kochavim ulahaktir chelba la'avodas kochavim. A person shechts the animal, and we're talking about chulin, we're not talking about kachim, with intent to do a later thing, zrika or haktara, for the sake of avodah zara. It's going to be important to note later, we distinguish between two different types of avodah. Among the classic four avodos, there is shechita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika, haktara. There are five, but shechita doesn't really count. Because shechita doesn't have to be done by a kohen. So catching the dam and bringing the dam to the mizbeach are lower level avodos. They're only enablers for the zrika, which putting the dam on the mizbeach, or haktara, putting things on the fire on the mizbeach, and what's more, the bona fide avodos are the zrika and the haktara, the ones mentioned here. Kabbalah and holacha are not; they're not considered to be bona fide avodos. So that split is going to matter on the top of Amud Beis. But for now, a person does a shechita, planning to do zrika or haktara. This either putting the dam on the mizbeach or putting something on the fire of the mizbeach, putting the fat on the fire for avodah zara. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar Psula. Rabbi Yochanan says that thought is effective, and therefore the carbon is now possible. And we say possible, what we mean is, as Rashi says, asura bahana, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Mutaris. Reish Lakish disagrees and says it is mutter, meaning mutter bahana. Tosfos notes that Reish Lakish will agree that the person is chayav misa. What he's done is an avodah zara act. Even if he doesn't follow through on the zrikas hadam, but it doesn't prohibit the animal because he never actually did an avoda with the animal, saying this avoda is going to be for avoda zara. Rav Shlomo Eger adds to this. He says not only that, but the shechita is fundamentally kosher. In other words, the meat is not aser bahana. The shochet is getting killed, but I come along and I can eat the meat. What about shechita of a mumer? Or shechita of a min? So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Chavav Mubeis says that a Jew becomes a min only if he's stuck to Avodah Zarah, like a priest for Avodah Zarah. For a non-Jew, the threshold is lower. But for a Jew, we assume that even if he does a specific act for Avodah Zarah, that's not who he is. It doesn't mean that everything he does is informed by Avodah Zarah. That act that we know of, he did for Avodah Zarah. So Shlomo Eger says, you could actually end up eating the meat from the shechita, even as the shochet ends up getting misa. Go figure. So he's not doing the act as Rika of Avodah Zarah. He didn't even do it. He
isn't going to. No, that a guy is going to do it. Rashi, I think, seems to say.
Where do you see that?
At the end of the Rizarki.
Well, that's because sheyavo, that he will do ha'avodas kochavim, not ha'ove kochavim, but the avodas kochavim, the idolatry. Not the idolater, but the idolatry.
So he himself will do it.
Correct. Correct. That's this case. Unlike the case of Oved versus owner, which we talked about before and which we're going to come back to later. That's not this discussion. So, Machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish here as to whether the thought is effective, and the Gemara explains, we're on the sixth line, Rabbi Yochanan or Psula, Rabbi Yochanan says disqualified, why? Mechashvin me'avoda la'avoda v'yafirin chutz mipnim. He says, because we do have a thought of pigol from one avoda, I shouldn't say pigol, that's jumping the gun. Rabbi Yochanan says a thought is effective about a different avoda while I'm doing this avoda, and and I deduce the laws for chulin from the laws for kachim. Meaning, for kachim, I know that if I do one avoda, thinking about a different avoda, I'm going to, that thought will be effective, and that's true for chulin as well. The case, the paradigm for this is the kachim pigul discussion, which I brought here on the table. You can see on the first row of cases, because it's an important case. The rule regarding pigul is, if I have a thought while I'm doing an avoda that I'm going to do something later at the wrong time, that makes the thing pigul. If I think I'm going to eat the carbon at the wrong time, the carbon now is pigul, even though it's not what I'm doing right now. Everybody agrees with that across the board.
So not to eat. To zrika or haktara.
Isn't it also about achila chutz lizmano? I mean, here we're talking about those, but in general, pigul I think also is about eating. But the point for us is, by kachim, by pigul, your thought is effective even though it's about a different avodah. So too here, which is chulin, your thought is going to be effective. That's Rabbi Yochanan.
You're also suggesting that when we define eating by pigul as achilas adam and achilat mizbeach. So in this case, with the dam and the murim, he's thinking of the achilat mizbeach.
Okay. Okay. Reish Lakish Omar Muteres. Reish Lakish says it's Muter. Ein Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda V'lo Gamrin An Chutz Mipnim. Reish Lakish says you don't have any sort of thought from one avoda to another. Not regarding Pigul. Regarding Pigul, he agrees. But here you don't. V'lo Gamrin An Chutz Mipnim. We are not making a deduction for Chulin from the laws of what is done regarding Kachim. Regarding Kachim, it's important to note within Reish Lakish, he isn't even going to do this regarding all things within Kachim, as we'll see. But for now, we're only looking at the first and third lines, if you will, on the table. Kachim for Pigul and Chulin for Avodah Zarah. That's what we know right now. The Azdu L'Tamayu, we want to match this up with their logic in another case, which is the middle line in the table, Kachim Shelo Lishma, and say they follow the same view that they express there. The Itmar, because we learned, Shachta Lishma Lizrok Dama Shelo Lishma. You shachted a karban intending that you would do this Rika Sadam, another Avodah, not Pigul, having a thought of the wrong time, but having a thought of the wrong type of a karban. Kachim shalo lishma. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar psula. Rabbi Yochanan says it is not acceptable, meaning that your thought is effective. And Reish Lakish says the karban is acceptable, meaning your thought is not effective. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar Psula, because Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda V'Garmina Mimachshev Es Pigul, Rabbi Yochanan says that your karban is possible because your thought about one avoda when you're doing a different one is a valid, effective thought. And we deduce from Pigul to Shalo Lishma. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar Ksheira, Reish Lakish says that the karban is kosher because Ein Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda V'lo Gamrina Mimachshev Es Pigul, because he says the thought from one avoda to another one is not effective outside of Pigul. We're not going to deduce from Pigul to Shalo Lishma. Yes?
Reish Lakish, are the two reasons interdependent?
So it sounds like you. It sounds like they're not. It sounds like it's almost this is because of that. Ein Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda because Lo Gamrina.
So wouldn't one of these two be enough?
Yes. Yes, to me it looks like it's a progression. Or not even, progression is probably the wrong word. It's a cause and effect. The Ein Gamrina Me'avoda La'avoda, Ein Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda, because Lo Gamrina Mimachshev Es Pigul. You're right. The Lashon doesn't sound like that, but that's the message of the line. I agree with you. I had trouble with that when I read it also, but it's so. Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula, he says, De gamrinan machsheves psul shalo lishmami machsheves pigul de ikaro me'avoda la'avoda. Right, the igor of pigul is me'avoda la'avoda, and we deduce the psul shalo lishma from pigul. It sounds like it's cause and effect. Even though you're right, that doesn't read straight.
That's what it stands on.
Okay. Good. So we now. No, I'm very happy. If you take a look at the table, then the first two columns are the ones that are of interest to us right now. Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says your thought is always effective. chulin kachim pigul shalishma avodah zara doesn't make a difference. Your thought for one avodah while you're doing a different one is always effective. Reish Lakish disagrees. He says in the source case of kachim for pigul, it's effective nowhere else. So now the Gemara says you needed to state both the kachim shalishma case and the chulin for avodah zara case. You couldn't have deduced one from the other. Meyer, yeah.
Is there ritzui? Is there, does the person, what is Reish Lakish saying that it's not effective?
So we go back to the we go back to the beginning of Zvachim, where we said that as a general principle, if it's a non chatas and a non carbon Pesach, it will be a valid carbon, but it doesn't satisfy your obligations. Right, chatas is out and carbon Pesach becomes a shlamim if it's shalom bismano.
Rashi says chatas here, plus yeah. Plus psula.
Right, because he's trying to find that case. Utsricha, and you needed to mention both the Kajim Shalom Lishma extrapolation and the Chulin for Avodah Zarah extrapolation. Why? De'i itmar baha, had you only mentioned the Avodah Zarah Chulin one, our case, baha ka'amar bishumad ben Lakish, mishum dechutz mipnim lo yalfinan. I would have said Reish Lakish took his stance that your thought is ineffective there because we can't deduce Chulin from Kajim. Aval pnim mipnim, but maybe Kajim to Kajim, pigol to Shalom Lishma, ema modi. Rabbi Yochanan, I might have thought he would agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Viyat Marbaha, and had you only mentioned the other case, the Kachim Shalal Lishma case, I might have said, Bahikam Rabbi Yochanan, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says that your thought is effective because one's Kachim is the and the other's Kachim. Aval Baha, but the Chulin for Avodah Zarah, Eimam Modile Reish Lakish. I would have said, maybe he agrees with Reish Lakish, that in fact, your thought is not effective. Tzricha, so therefore you need to mention both. Masiv Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes challenges this based on our Mishnah with Rabbi Yossi. Remember that in our Mishnah we had this discussion about thought from one avoda for another avoda, and he quotes it here. Am Rav Yossi kavachomer advarim. Rav Yossi said, "Look, uma b'makom shemachshava poseles b'mukdashin ein hakol holech ela achar ha'oved." In the discussion that we had about the thought of the person doing the avoda versus the thought of the owner of the animal, when we talked about shechting an animal for an idolater. He said, he says, in a case where thought is effective, by which we mean kachim, we say, Eina kol holich ela achar ha'oved. You only follow the thought of the person doing the avoda. We don't care about the thought of the person bringing the karban. Makom she'ein machshava poseles b'chulin, ein odin shelo ye'akol holich ela achar ha'shochet. Then if you're dealing with chulin, where thought does not disqualify, he says, how much more so? You should not follow the thought of the owner. You only follow the thought of the person doing whatever it is, doing the shechita. End of quote. So the Gemara wants to know, what do you mean when you say thought is ineffective regarding chulin? We're about 15 lines up from the bottom. May ein machshava poseles b'chulin. What do you mean when you say chulin where the thought is ineffective? If you're going to tell me that thought doesn't disqualify the chulin at all, what are you talking about? That means that any time you shach for avodah zarah, it's not going to disqualify the animal? That's nonsense. We know that that's not true. Rashi brings you that it's not true. On elas vicha davodas kochavim de mitzvah, of course we know that that's not true. Tikroves avodas kochavim mikri zivche mesim. A carbon brought with avodah zarah in mind is called zivche mesim. Kedichsev ayochlum zivche mesim. And we learn the whole deduction over there. Of course we know that your thought is going to be effective. So what do you mean when you say that thought does not disqualify chulin? Ela pshita me'avoda la'avoda. Rather, it's obvious you're talking about a thought from one avoda to another. What Rabbi Yossi is saying is that regarding chulin, thought for one avoda while you're doing a different one will not disqualify it. If I have a thought during shechita about zrika, It's not going to render this chulin animal avodah zarah. V'hachi ka'amar, and this is the way to read Rabbi Yossi. Uma b'makom shemachshava poselas b'mukdashin me'avodah la'avodah. When you're dealing with karbanos, a thought during one avodah about another avodah will disqualify it. Eina kol holech ela achar ha'oved. And yet we only follow the thought of the shochet, the person doing the avodah. Makom shein machshava poselas b'chulin me'avodah la'avodah. Regarding chulin, a thought from one avoda to another one does not disqualify. Ela ba'osa avoda, only during that avoda will disqualify. Eino din shaloya kol halech ela achar shochet. So then certainly you should only follow the shochet, not the oved. In other words, your thoughts are more powerful regarding karbanos than they are regarding chulin. And in karbanos, only your thought about this avoda is effective, so then certainly regarding chulin, we're not going to argue that me'avoda l'avoda should be effective. So now you have a problem. Look at your chart, and you can see the problem before we read it in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi says that kachim shelo lishma, your thought is going to be effective, right? Because it's kachim. So therefore, your thought me'avoda l'avoda will be effective. That's against Reish Lakish. And then on the other hand, chulin for avoda zari says, no, that's only chulin. Your thought from avoda l'avoda is not going to be effective. So that's going to be against Rabbi Yochanan. So he's an equal opportunity offender. He says, back in the Gemara, pnim kasher l'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, your thought inside is going to be a challenge for Reish Lakish. Chutz, your thought outside, meaning for chulin for avoda zari, kasher l'Rabbi Yochanan, is going to be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. He says, for the source point for Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi is saying his Kal Vachomer in our Mishnah is, because I want to make sure I said it right, that where Machshava will disqualify Bar Karbanos from Avoda to Avoda, which it will, both for Pigul and Shelo Lishma, but only the thought of the Oved. How much more so regarding Chulin, where it doesn't do it? May avoda la avoda. Only in that avoda, you should only follow the Oved. But for kachim, it will disqualify both pigul and shelo lishma. May avoda la avoda. That's the key point. So the Gemara says, what are you supposed to do now? Rabbi Yossi is a Tana. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish do not have the right to disagree with him until they can produce another Tana who will support them. So how do I justify Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So Bishlama Pnim l'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish lokasha. He says, well, first of all, this issue of Pnim, of what happens inside in Shalom Lishma, is not a problem for Reish Lakish. Why? Ha mekame deshama me Rabbi Yochanan, ha lebasar deshama me Rabbi Yochanan. One was before he heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, and the other was after he heard it from Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi brings two different explanations for what this means. Rashi's first explanation is that this was before he learned that Mishnah of Rabbi Yossi's statement from Rabbi Yochanan. He thought Rabbi Yochanan was just saying this on his own. And he said, well, I have a right to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, that's fine. And then he learned, no, Rabbi Yossi says this, and he had to change his mind, and in fact, he reneged. He recanted, I should say. Tosfos thinks that answer is just weird. This idea. Tosfos here says, what are you talking about? Tema, my teirutz huzeh shemetaritz. He said, what are you talking about? Reish Lakish spoke up in the Gemara, he didn't know a Mishnah? But if you look in the Masoret HaShas, they refer you to Tosfos and Menachos, who shows you two other cases where Rabbi Reish Lakish appears to be unaware of a Mishnah. Remembering his background and how he came to things, it is Shaykh. But Rashi brings a second approach in which he says maybe this was before he knew that Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with him. That's when he said his original statement, and then Rabbi Yochanan contradicted him, and he went along with it. The Marsha has yet another approach. But this is how we justify Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish doesn't mean to contradict the Mishnah. Once he knew the Mishnah, he backtracked. What about Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara says Elo Chutz Kasher L'Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan do as far as Chutz? Hu Mosiv Lava Hu Mefarik Lava Arba Avodos. So he asked the question and he answered the question. The answer is the four avodos. This goes back to the split that I mentioned before. V'Hachik Yomer, and this is what he's saying. Oma B'Makom Shemachshava Poselas V'Mukdashin Ba'Arba Avodos In Ein Hakol Ela Achara Oved. When you're dealing with Kadshim, the disqualification is only during those four big avodos. The catching of the dam, bringing it to the mizbeach, putting it on the mizbeach, putting something on the fire. And yet we say that only the oved's thought is effective, Rabbi Yossi was saying. Makom she'ein machshava poselas b'chulin ela b'shtei avodos. So Rabbi Yossi said, when you're dealing with chulin, only two avodos matter, the zrika and the haktara. Ein odin shelo ye'akol holech ela achra shochet. Certainly the thought should only be the thought of the shochet that counts. But the point is, Rabbi Yossi made his statement not to exclude the thought in Chulin. The thought in Chulin will be effective regarding two avodos, just not regarding two other avodos. Your thought for avodah zarah in Chulin will be effective for Shechita and for Zrika, and that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to. So we're going to modify Rabbi Yochanan as well to match that and say, your thought is effective for Shechita and Zrika, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant in the first place. So Rabbi Yossi is now satisfactory for Rabbi Yochanan. For Rabbi Yochanan as well. Tosfos notes: Zrika thoughts do not actually render the meat off limits. We're going to see that in a story at the bottom of this page. And anyone who has to leave for the 6:30 must see Rashi on the story of the merchants at the bottom of the Yomud, with a remarkable anachronism. But that's the way that Tosfos says it. He says the blood becomes usher, the meat does not become usher. So now we've satisfied Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish within Rabbi Yossi, and we're going to continue in the thought of Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brisa that seems to support Rabbi Yochanan's idea. Again, Rabbi Yochanan saying that your thought is effective about one avoda even when you're doing a different one. Tanya kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. Brisa supporting the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Hashochid es habehema lizrok dama lavodas kochavim ulahakir chelba lavodas kochavim. Hare elu zivchem esim. If you shecht an animal, meaning again, chulen, planning to put the blood for Avodah Zarah, or to put the fat on the fire for Avodah Zarah. It's the phrase that Rashi used on the previous Amud. This is Avodah Zarah. If he did the shechita and then he demonstrated a thought for it, he actually said something indicating his thought was for Avodah Zarah. I say that it's saying something. That's not so clear cut, but that's what we're going to work with for now. That happened in Caesarea. And the Chachamim did not want to say Aser or Mutter. What do you mean? Amr Chista. Chista gives us two approaches. We have one approach from Chista, one from Rav Shizbi. Amr Chista. Lo Amru ba Iser Mishum Kavodin de Rabbanan. Rav Chista said they didn't want to say Aser. Because remember our previous discussion, right? The Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer about the case in which you shecht an animal and the owner has one thought and you, the Oved, have a different thought. So in that previous discussion, the Tanakhama said we don't assume intent for Avodah Zarah. Right? Stam Machshava is not for Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer said we do assume Kavana for Avodah Zarah. That, correct, and that's going to matter. That, keep that thought in mind. Not the Avodah Zarah, the thought about that point, about the difference in Jew and non-Jew. The Tanakhama said, I don't assume Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer said, I do assume Avodah Zarah. So here, they don't want to say Usur, because the Rabbanan believe we don't assume Avodah Zarah. So your thought after the Shechita is irrelevant. And your thought during the Shechita was fine. So therefore there's no reason to assume it's no good. But Lo Heter, they didn't want to permit it either, Mishum Kavodah Rabbi Eliezer, because of the honor of Rabbi Eliezer, who says we do assume thoughts for Avodah Zarah. We're 12 lines down on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. He said we do assume thoughts of Avodah Zarah, so therefore they didn't want to say Mutter. So what did you do? Take them. Don't eat the meat, though. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. Is that really true of Chista? This is what they were thinking. Dilma ad kan lo ka'ami Rabbanan hasam, ela delo shamana dechashiv. Maybe the reason why the Rabbanan said we don't assume intent for Avodah Zarah is because we didn't know what he was thinking. Aval hacha, but here, de shamana dechashiv, where afterwards we did hear him do this, that's why I said he said something, meaning we know what his later intent was. His later intent indicated what was in his thoughts all along. Inami, alternatively, you could argue the other way, as Alan wanted to argue. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Eliezer hasam el agabe avodas kochavim. Distam machsheves avi kochavim lavodas kochavim. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer said we assume avodas zara because the guy wasn't Jewish, and I'm going to assume he's thinking about his idolatry. Aval Yisrael, but if it's a Jew, hochiach sofat chilasa lo aminan. I will not assume that he was thinking avodas zara earlier just because he thought Avodah Zarah later. We don't assume retroactively what he was thinking earlier. Like I said before about Tosfos and Avodah Zarah and his definition of a min, the fact that a Jew worships Avodah Zarah once doesn't make him a min. He has to do more than that in order to have that presumed status. So to here, I won't necessarily extrapolate. So Rav Chista, you're telling me that the reason they didn't want to say Aser or Mutter was because of the debate about whether we assume Kavana for Avodah Zarah. I'm not so sure that applies. Rav Shizbi said, and that's another one if you're thinking about naming a baby at some point. Think Rav Shizbi. I think that would be good to broaden the pool of names we use. So El Amr of Shizbi, Lo Amru Baheter Mishum Kavoda Der Shem Begamliel. Rav Shizbi said when it said they didn't want to permit it, it was because of Kavoda Der Shem Begamliel, because of the honor of Rav Shem Begamliel, who believes that in fact you can extrapolate earlier intent based on the demonstrated later intent. Higher Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say this? Well, we bring two attempts to source Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Here's the first. Elim Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to Gittin. Maybe it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel from Gittin. You want to say that? Disnan, as the following source goes. Habari Sha'amar Kisvu Get Le'ishti. A man who was in fine health said, write a get for his wife. And the story was that he didn't say, write it and give it. He just said, write the get for his wife. Had he really been serious about it, he would have said, write it and give it. And he didn't. But what's he doing? He wants to torture her. There should be a get waiting until he decides to give it to her. Ratzel Asachikba. Yeah, we assume that he was trying to bother her. But Rashi explains more about the story of Ratzel Asachikba. Rashi says, Shlatavtsir Bolases Laget Lepotra Miyavam Im Yamus. Rashi says the deal was he was in perfect health, he wasn't dying, but his wife was worried because they didn't have kids or he didn't have any children, and she's worried about Yibum, she doesn't like her brother-in-law, and she keeps saying to him, give me a get so that I won't be stuck with Yibum or having to get chalitza from your brother. So he writes the get, but he doesn't actually get it delivered. He says, don't worry, I took care of it. That's your story. And once the story happened that somebody wrote a get for his wife and then went up to the roof and he fell and died. Normally in the Gemara, the phrase go up to the roof, fall and die is a euphemism for someone actually putting himself off the roof on purpose. If you think of the story of Marta Bas Baisus in the Gemara, in the Tisha B'Av Gemara, after she loses her seven kids, it's Isha B'Sheva Bana. I don't know if she's called Marta Bas Baisus or Necha Rabba. I think she's Marta Bas Baisus. But in any case, there it's understood. In another case, it's understood that that's what's going on. Sorry? That's in another version of the story. That doesn't appear in the... Lucas is Bas Bilga. Miriam Bas Bilga. That's all right. But that's the one who says, look what you're doing here, the wolf taking the carbonos. That's a different version. It's a different story, I should say. But there are multiple versions of the ones in Yishuv Shiva Banel also. In any case, in our case, in the case there, it's understood that that's what happened. So here, it's not going to be so clear. And that's exactly what we have to discuss. What happened here with this man who went up to the roof? He said, write the get. He then went up to the roof, fell and died. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, im may atzmo nafal, if he fell on his own, right, he didn't fall, hareza get. Then in fact we assume he intended it to be not just written but also delivered. In other words, hochiach sofo al chilasa. What happened later demonstrates what he meant earlier, and it's a get. V'maruach techaso, but if he fell because the wind pushed him, eino get, it's not a get. End of quote. Vavinunban, the Gemara asks, Maisa Listor, you're bringing a story in order to contradict the line. Because first you said that if a healthy person says, write a get, we assume he's not serious. And then you bring me a story in which he is serious. So I don't understand. Did you mean to contradict the first law you stated? No. Chesuri Mechsera, it's missing text. Rahi Katani, this is what it should say. Im ho chiach sofo al chilaso, hareiz a get. If what happens at the end shows what happened at the beginning, demonstrates what it was meant, then it is a get. Umaisa nami bibari shamar kisvigel ishti. And it once happened with a healthy person who said, give a get, write a get for my wife. Va'alo lagag v'nafal umais. And then he went to the roof and he fell and died. Amar b'shimagam liel imayatzmo nafal arayz a get. V'marach t'chaso eino get. B'shimagam liel says it depends on whether he fell in a way that indicates what he meant earlier. He fell on purpose or not. End of quote. So b'shimagam liel there is willing to accept the idea that later actions can be used to extrapolate earlier intent. We don't assume he changed his mind somewhere in the middle. But the Gemara says that may not be a valid source for our case in which the animal was shechted and then he expressed an avodah zarah thought. The Dilma Sha'ani Hasam, that may be different over there. Why? Because there was a demonstration of seriousness, the Kamar Kisvu, because he said, write the get. That may be a demonstration of serious intent in and of itself. In our case, we had no demonstration of any intent for avodah zarah at all. He just said, shech my animal. That was all it was. Ella Amar Ravina, rather Ravina said, Mishne, he says, that's not your source for Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That's not where it comes from. The reason, by the way, it's not shech my animal, it's where he actually did the shechita. It wasn't where he sent somebody else. That's a separate discussion. But Ravina said it was because of the kavod of Shimon ben Gamliel, because in another case he showed that we extrapolate from later actions. The following brisa. Hakosev nechasav la'acherim v'hayu b'en avadim. If a person writes his assets off to somebody else, he said, I'm giving a gift to somebody else. V'hayu b'en avadim. And there were avadim in this gift. V'omar halah. And the recipient said, E'efshi b'hen. I don't want them. Im haya rabo sheni kohen. If this recipient was a kohen, harei elu ochlin b'truma. The avadim are able to eat truma. Meaning saying, I don't want them doesn't help. They still become his, and therefore the avadim are considered avadim of a kohen, and therefore they can eat truma. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer kevan shamar halah yevshi ben kvar zachu ben yarshim. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, you say I don't want them, then that means they're not yours, and therefore the heirs of the original giver are the recipients of this gift. Va'avinam ba'am, we ask. L'tanakama afilu omid v'tzoveyach. According to the Tanakama, meaning this one who said that they belong to him anyway, is that even if he's jumping up and down saying, no, I don't want him, I don't want him, I don't want him? Is that really true? Amar Rabba, and Rabba said, v'tem Rav Yochanan, some others of Yochanan, v'tzoveyach me'ikara dekulei amalo pligid lokana. He said, no. If the guy is jumping up and down, everybody agrees he doesn't acquire it. The gift is not his. Our case is b'shosek u'b'sof tzoveyach. It's where he was silent when the gift was given, and then he went to his accountant, and he said to the accountant, "What's this going to do to me?" And the accountant said, "Oh, are you in trouble?" And then he's tzoveyach. Then he screams, right? He says b'shosek u'b'sof tzoveyach. T'kolei amalo pligi dekana. There is not a debate either. The gift is for sure his. Hang on. So where he protested from the beginning, it's not his. Where he was silent and then he protested, it is his. Completely, the debate is shezika lo al yedei acher v'shasak ul b'sof tzoveach. The cases where he didn't know in the beginning. You gave him the gift without him being present. Somebody else was the recipient on his behalf, and he was silent. He did know something. He had to have known, but then later he protested. Satana kama savar midashasik kananu. The Nakama says you were silent in the beginning. You accepted it. Your later protest is only a later thing. And it's too late now for you to be able to protest. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no. Your later protest indicates what you had in mind earlier. The reason you didn't protest earlier was because he says, look, I didn't get it yet. Why should I scream now? There's no point. So therefore, the point is, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel takes the stand to say later actions can demonstrate earlier intent, and therefore now we're going to say regarding shechita for avodah zara, the same thing is going to be true. He later said it's for avodah zara. We assume that was something that he was thinking about when he did the shechita. Also, I'm a little confused because I don't understand why he didn't express his thought earlier there. By the gift. We understand why he didn't say anything earlier. We said, because he said, what's the point? By avodah zarah, I'm not sure why he didn't express it earlier. Maybe that's why there's a machlokas, I don't know. But it sounds like the machlokas is about the fundamental concept, not the application.
That stage in terms of
whatever his ritual was, right. Maybe it's a function of his ritual, I don't know. Meyer, you had a question?
Yeah, why don't we say he doesn't complain because he doesn't want to offend the person, but after when it comes into his possession, he's complaining. He doesn't want it.
Yeah, you could give that argument. You could. Our only point is that we do have good reasons for why he delayed. You could suggest more reasons why he delayed.
Like shtika, I'm trying to say we shouldn't apply shtika kaidada.
Right, because we have a reason, and it's much like that discussion. Remember the Gemara in Kiddushin, and in the beginning of Suvos, about, you get called a name and you don't answer, but why didn't you answer? Is it because you were afraid people would investigate, and that's why you didn't answer? Is it because you're willing to accept this versus a greater charge, Mumba versus Chalal and all that? Reading people's minds is one of the Gemara's great sports. We spent a lot of Zvachim also reading people's minds. What did they mean when they made a carbon? What did they mean when they did the carbon? When they promised the carbon? Yes, mind reading is very important within halacha. It's a good skill to develop.
Don't these avodim become an hechker anyway? Can he
He can make them have
kavod. He can make them have kavod, but in this case they don't. They revert to the heirs. The gift was given, it was a gift mechayim. It was a gift while the owner was alive. So in the event that the gift is not effective, it reverts to his estate.
But if they are effective, then they become hefker.
Then they would become hefker. And then you have a separate question, which Rashi discusses here, about the status of an eved who has been freed without a get peturin, without any sort of document.
The issue in Bava Batra is a technical one, is to whether refusal is an act of kinyan. Refusal on its own isn't an act of kinyan.
Mm-hmm.
But when he did it up front before he even got the gift, then there hasn't been a kinyan because his refusal sort of preceded the gift.
Right, which is separate from the discussion here about reading his mind before, in general, what trying to figure out what it was that he was thinking. Rashi isn't the one who says get shichur. I'm sorry, it's Tosfos and Hayarabba Sheni who mentions the need for the document. So again, just to summarize what we have, we started out with a debate about from one avoda to another avoda. Is your thought going to be effective or not? Machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish as to number one application from pigul to shalol lishma. Within Kachem, and then application to Chulin for Avodah Zarah as well. We supported Rabbi Yochanan after he brought Rabbi Yossi and we resolved how Rabbi Yossi could work for either side. We then brought a Braisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan's view, and then the question is, so how do you determine the intent of the party who's involved? We now go back to our original discussion in the Mishnah, which was the owner of the animal thought one thing. The Shochet thought something else. Whose thought is going to win? We saw our debate already. So, Hanu Taye, I'm sorry, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda says, citing Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, the law follows Rabbi Yossi, the thought of the Shochet is what counts. This is huge, because it matters, you're a Jewish butcher, and a non-Jew brings you an animal to shecht. Are you shechting for Avodah Zarah by shechting his animal? Now, I would have thought, if you really are considered to be shechting for Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to shecht. The next story tells me that's not true. Which is strange, but it's true. Hanu Taye da'asilu tzikunya. Taye, traveling merchants came to tzikunya. There's a remarkable Rashi here that we have to see before we finish this story. But let's do the story first. Yahiv dichri l'tavche Yisrael. They gave rams to Jewish shochtim. Amrlo, and they said to them, Dama v'tarba l'didan, mishcha u'bisra l'didchu. The blood and the fat goes for ours. The hide and the meat is for you. So you take a look at Rashi. He says, "Taye were Yishmaelim, Arabs. The einan ochlin ela basar shchuta. They would only eat shechted meat. Va'afilu himesa me'ela shochet osa la'ochla. Even if it died on its own, they would afterwards do the ritual cut in order to eat it. V'chein darkon. That is their way. What is Rashi talking about? Something that didn't start for another 300 or 400 years after the Gemara. He's imputing Islam back into the Gemara. So one possibility is that Rashi is anachronistic. In other words, he's applying back a later practice. The reason why he would do so is because he doesn't understand why the Taye are going to the Jews to do that. They can do their own cutting. And the answer is they want someone who's a shochet. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that halal was an earlier pagan practice in the region, which Muslims then took on and made into halal. But Rashi is actually correct historically that halal preceded the practice of Islam. It wouldn't be the first thing. We know that that circumcision was current in the culture before Muslims came along. Muslims made it part of their practice. We know with ourselves Geula exists, as Ramban notes on the story of Yehuda and Tamar, before it becomes Yibum. It gets changed. When the Torah invokes Yibum, Yibum is not the same thing as Geula. Geula is more members of the family and so on. And it isn't a mitzvah until the Torah makes it into a mitzvah. But it could be that that's what Rashi is doing here. The other thing is, his comment about them doing the halal cut after the animal dies, I did some research on halal, and no one mentions that you could actually do this. No one discussing halal says that you can do this. That doesn't mean it's not so. It could just be that the sites I was looking at didn't have the right information.
But I've understood from Muslims that you can declare something to be halal even though it isn't.
Right, so there are levels of halal in and of itself. Sure. I mean, we know that among Jews also, there are people who declare something kosher that it isn't.
I've been at conferences and I'm getting kosher food and there's a Muslim person beside me and he's eating the regular food and he says, well, I've declared it.
Right, because there are different elements to halal, which we're not here to learn the Muslim practices, but there are different elements of halal that are involved.
What's the Geula that you
Geula, the Ramban says, if Yehuda, if you look at the story of Rus and Boaz, and you look at the story of Yehuda and Tamar, you see that they were doing Yibum. Well, Rus and Boaz is ready after Matan Torah, but you see that there are practices of marrying within the family that aren't marrying the brother. Like Tamar marrying Yehuda. Similarly, and Ramban there explains, this was a practice called Geula, which preceded Matan Torah, and that's why it's called a Goel, rather than a Yavam.
How were they married to
begin with? Right, which is a fun discussion also, but let's see what the story here. So in any case, the merchants come to Tikunya, and they give the Jews the rams to do something with, and they say, the blood and the fat are going to be for ours, meaning for idolatry. And Rashi said, they're too busy, so they go to the Jews to take care of this. And that's why they're going to the Jews then. And they want us to do the Shechita cut. And they say, you can have the fat and you can have the meat. So no one seems to be bothered by having the Jews shech something that's going to be for Avodah Zarah. That's not really our question here, which is remarkable to me, given that we have such distance from taking part in, aiding in whatever Avodah Zarah. But let's read the story. Shalcha Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masa kamed Rav Yosef. So Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masa sends the question to Rav Yosef, ki agav namai? What is the law? The Shalach line, he responds, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halachik Rabbi Yossi. The law follows Rabbi Yossi, that I care about the thought of the Shochet. I don't care what the owners are thinking. Amar Le Rav Acha Breid Rav Avi Le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha Breid Rav Avi says to Rav Ashi, Le Rav Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer being the one who says that the thought of the owner does matter. So Yoiv Le Zuze Le Tabach Yisrael Mai. What if the non-Jew gives money to the Jewish Shochet for him to Shecht? So he's going to be buying a part of the meat. It's not his animal, but he's going to buy part of the meat. Mai, then what? So someone asked me yesterday after the class, what about you go to the supermarket and the non-Jew is going to be buying it from the supermarket? That's already more distant because he's not even present at the time of the Shechita. Here he is. And he says, I'm going to want part of it. So Amar Lei Chazina, and he says, we look. E inish ilmahu, if he's a powerful person, such that you couldn't push him off. If he says, I am buying the meat, you don't have the option of saying, sorry, it's reserved. In such a case, Aser. Then it's Aser, because he is considered to be an owner. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the owner's thought matters. V'ilo, but if not, Amar Lei, Reishach V'har. If he's not powerful, he can say, here's your head, here's the mountain. Equivalent of saying, here's your head, here's the wall. Go bang your head against the wall. This is a good put down. And the go fly a kite. This is a put down Gemara style. So the point is, since you're able to reject him, number one, even though we say for a non-Jew, Malos Konos, paying the money is the transaction, you actually expect to reject it, so therefore it's not valid. And similarly, the Rambam notes that regarding chametz and matzah, if someone who's forceful gives you chametz before Pesach, and you don't want to guard it, it doesn't matter. You are responsible to reject it and to destroy it, in fact, because it's now your responsibility because you don't have the ability to refuse.
Is the intent that he only becomes an owner after the Shechita, so his ownership only kicks in after the Shechita. So at that point, it's like the guy buying the meat in the supermarket afterwards. At the time of the Shechita, he was not an owner, and therefore there's no problem.
Right, so it's that he could reject it. It's not that he necessarily did. It's that he has the capacity to reject, the freedom to reject it.
So he says, I'm going to accept it, but only after the Shechita.
Right. So this is in terms of understanding Rabbi Eliezer. In any case, our view is it's the Shochet's thought that counts. It's not an issue of Dvar Avera. The Inshlech of Dvar Avera means that I am responsible if I commit an Avera act, regardless of who sent me to do it. That's not our point here. The question is whether this is an Avera at all. Does his thought make it an Avera? That's really our question. And it doesn't separate out the Baal from...
It's not.
Rabbi Eliezer believes that the owner's thought matters. It doesn't make him an agent, but the owner's thought is what matters. Those are two different things. Agency is not quite the same thing. All right, we're going to have to stop. We're going to hit the Mishnah, but this one will stop here.